Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. With me today, I have Kelly Gumond. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am awesome. I'm so glad both of you are here. I'm also really glad that Eero is our sponsor today. And we'll talk about why I'm so happy with Eero soon, but we might as well just jump right into the news. And that news, the big news, is CrashPlan. CrashPlan Home is being shut down, and that the official shutdown happens in October 2018. So that's still a year-ish off, but we kind of need to sort through this because there's a lot of questions people are having. And so,
well, let's start with what they are for people who are going, what is CrashPlan? Why is everyone so worked up about this?
That's a really good idea. Hey, Kelly, what's CrashPlan?
CrashPlan is a service. It's sort of like the easiest way I have found to describe, there are a number of services like CrashPlan, but the easiest way I've found to describe it is Time Machine, but over the internet.
All right. Yeah.
So it's a backup system, because lots of people know what Time Machine is. They understand it. They know what it does, why they need it, you know, all of that stuff. Like, I know what Time Machine is. So this is like, instead of having that Time Machine drive in your house, that Time Machine drive lives someplace else. So this fulfills one of the checkboxes in a 3-2-1 backup plan, which is there are three sets of your data. I said it and now I'm not going to remember. Two of them can be in the same place, and one of them, I don't remember what the one was for, but I remember it's a 3-2-1 backup plan. And basically, you're supposed to have two different backups, maybe one where you are, but one not where you are. You need to have an off-site backup, because suppose it's your house. Everybody's computer lives at their house for the most part. If somebody takes your computer and all the drives that are hooked to your computer, and the only backup you have is the drive that's plugged into your computer, now you have none of your data. So lots of people do the old, I have like just a bare drive and I have a hard drive dock and it lives somewhere else and I bring it to my house once a month, drop it in a dock, back it up and move on. So CrashPlan is an online version of Time Machine, so that you're able to, it works quietly in the background and it uploads your stuff to a remote server. And then if you ever need it, you can pull it back down again from that remote location, which I know there are a lot of people using all these kinds of services. It's totally saved their bacon more than one time.
Mm-hmm. And so the news is that CrashPlan for Home is shutting down. And
yes.
And so some people are freaking out thinking CrashPlan, which or Code 42, which is the company that mm-hmm. has the CrashPlan product, mm-hmm. that they're thinking that, holy crap, CrashPlan is gone forever. No, just the home user version. Mm-hmm. And not until October 2018. And if you are a current CrashPlan for Home user, your account automatically had 60 days added to it. So when you get to the end of whatever your current subscription is, you have 60 more days to figure out what to do, which is good because, you know, there's some people that their subscription is ending in a few weeks, and now they have a few weeks and a couple months to sort out their cloud-based backup system.
Mm-hmm.
So this also means that if you are using CrashPlan just to do like your own local backup, or to do the peer-to-peer thing where you're backing up your data to a hard drive connected to someone else's computer or friend, family member, that mm-hmm. stuff goes away too. So it's not just their cloud storage part of their backup. Mm-hmm. It's everything related to CrashPlan for Home.
Right. So, and that was the disappointing thing, because that was a really clever use of their service, is that the physical drive you were backing up to could be at the house of someone who you know.
Yes. So, yeah, so that's gone. Or will be gone, which means that if you're using CrashPlan for Home today, and I know I'm sounding a little bit like a broken record, but I want to make sure everyone understands this. If you're using CrashPlan for Home today, You have until, at the latest, October of 2018, to find a new cloud-based backup service, or see if you can switch to CrashPlan for Business, which will, if you're paying for it, it'll probably cost a little bit more, but CrashPlan will migrate your CrashPlan for home data over to one of the business plans. But if you're not going to stick with CrashPlan because you don't want to, it's not the right thing for what you want moving forward, whatever your reason, there are other options. And we should probably give people an idea of what else is out there. And Kelly, since you've been just rattling off all kinds of great information about cloud-based backups, which ones are you familiar with? It doesn't have to be ones you have used, but which cloud backup services are you familiar with?
There are three that I know and am familiar with. The first is Backblaze, which is the one that I personally use. There's CrashPlan, and there's also one called Carbonite, which obviously I'm partial to for a number of reasons. And there's also one called Dolly Disk.
Dolly Drive.
Dolly Drive. Yes. And Dolly Drive is another one that is pretty good. And the thing about it is that it doesn't really matter which one is the one to whom you swear your allegiance. It matters that you have one. And it doesn't even have to be an online backup system. It can be something where, like I was describing, you have a hard drive that lives at someone else's house and you bring it home once a month and back everything up to it, however you want to do that, and then take it back there so that if something happens to your house, you still have your data someplace else. That's the important part of this whole story. Dolly Drive is Dolly, D-O-L-L-Y, drive.com. Mm-hmm. For people who are interested in checking that out. Backblaze is backblaze.com. And Carbonite is Carbonite. I believe it's carbonite.com.
I'll have links to all of these in the show notes.
Yeah, and they all run because I pay for Backblaze yearly, and Backblaze is $50 a year, and I think the others are $5 a month or $60 a year. Mm-hmm. So they're all pretty close. And what I would recommend is not, if you are a person using CrashPlan, you don't have 14 months to do this. You have like 4 months to do this because you want to be able to get the new system set up and running, try out the new system, see if you can restore from it and everything, make sure everything is set up and working in the new system before the old system goes away. Because once CrashPlan is gone, you don't have the opportunity to do that anymore. So maybe you have 4 months, not 14. You don't, maybe six. So try sorting that out. Yeah, try sorting that out ahead of time, because a lot of people, because I've seen this happen often. I used to do support for a hard drive company where somebody is trying to do something where they're backing up regularly and they get some sort of error and they don't understand it and they don't bother with it. And then when they actually need the backup, it turns out that the error was, nothing is backing up because this thing is going on. And so now they're stuck. Screwed. Right. And I don't want that to ever happen to anybody, because I've had to talk to people on the phone who had that problem. And it hurts to have to explain to them, like, you're out of luck. And it's not like I just don't want to help you. It's that I have no capacity to do so. Your data is not in that other place where you thought you were putting it. So that's the part that's hard about losing backups. And I think one thing people don't always think about with backups is stuff like all those pictures that you took when you went on that trip that time that are only on your computer. You need to put those somewhere else. And
so you don't lose them.
Right. Or email, you know, because you have, because email is, can be, you know, transient, and you can end up with like something that doesn't, that isn't anywhere else. And you want to make sure that you have a backup of your mail file and, you know, pictures of, you know, like that picture you took with your phone that time that got backed up to your computer. Like, you want to make sure that that stuff gets preserved. And I know one thing that when I've helped people, you know, talk about stuff, with,
with backing up is like all your data. I'm talking about all your data. I'm not talking about I can just go download applications again. It's all that little stuff that you've collected over time. Those are the things that are going to go away as well. And that's why it's so important to get these backed up. So if you're not using one of these services or doing anything with offline backup, Jeff and I know, will be more than happy to help you sort out a solution. And you can use all of Jeff's information at the end of the show to find out how to get a hold of us for that.
There you go. There you go. There's more stuff I want to talk about. So I'm going to move us on right now, even though we could talk all day just about cloud backups. And what I'm moving on to is Eero. And Eero is the company that makes the Wi-Fi mesh network system that I'm using in my place. And I started with the original when it came out and loved it. And when I heard that they were coming out with the second generation version, I thought, okay, this is great. And then also thought, why in the world would I want to replace what I already have because it's so good? Well, it turns out for my needs, upgrading to the second generation Eero was totally worth it because one of the things that they did was they added in a third 5 gigahertz radio. And so now you have this extra tri-band, that radio system that... Basically, what it means is that my network can run twice as fast as it did before. And yes, I know there's all kinds of variables that come into play when you look at your network bandwidth. But what I found is that my network is more responsive. Everything is faster, and I can abuse my network in new ways, and it's absolutely wonderful. I love that I have this awesome range that I get. One of the big problems I have is that my Wi-Fi radius is part of my geofence for some of the smart home things that I have set up. Mm-hmm. And with my Eero and the two beacons, which are the satellite units that give me this big mesh area. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can't get far enough away for some of the things that I do for my cameras to trigger on, which means that when I go to my favorite pub, I have to manually turn on my cameras.
Oh my gosh.
These are the problems that I have to deal with. Anyhow, what you guys can do is
you too can have these problems.
Yes, you too can have these problems where you have to manually turn on cameras while your favorite bartender is hooking you up with your favorite drink. Go to the Eero website, Eero.com, Eero.com. And when you pick out your Eero system and you get to the checkout, choose the overnight shipping. And then use the special code TDO. And when you use that code after you've picked your overnight shipping, that shipping in the United States and Canada is free. So you can order an Eero, get it shipped to you overnight, and not have to pay any shipping charges. It's really great. I'm very pleased with my Eero, and I would love for you guys to have just as awesome a network as I do. So thank you, Eero, for being our sponsor.
Yay.
Okay, so the other thing that I want to talk about today is something that I've been playing with for a little while, but haven't been able to talk about yet. And you know, it's fun when I get to have early access to different products. And the one that I've been playing with, it's a prototype. I need to make that clear. It's a prototype of Luna Display. And this Ooh. Is, yeah. So this is something that Astro HQ, the company that makes AstroPad, mm-hmm. Put together. And
now AstroPad, because I'm going to ask everybody what's that for. AstroPad is an app, correct?
It's an app for your iPad that lets you turn your iPad into a graphics tablet for your Mac. So I can use my iPad and create art on it, but it's like having a traditional graphics tablet that you connect to your computer, use with a stylus and all that. But I can actually see what I'm working on directly on the iPad. So it's a really cool, really handy product, and it's something that I've enjoyed and have used for a while. And now they have a new thing. It's called Luna Display. And what it does is it lets you take your iPad and turn it into a second display for your computer.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is something you've been able to do already.
Yes.
Through software. So you can get apps that let you turn your iPad into a second display. And the thing is, when you're doing that, you're doing software tricks to get it to work, which is cool because we can do that.
Right.
But what Luna Display does is it plugs into either a USB-C port or a mini display port, and it has the hardware built into it so that your computer now sees your iPad as a true second display.
Oh, ho.
Which means now you get to take advantage of graphics acceleration and the video hardware that's in your computer. So I've been playing with this prototype, running like beta software that's early enough that we should probably call it alpha software.
Okay.
And still, it's working really well. So like I've been using this as right now I'm having. Here's the problem I'm having. It's something that just started today. I couldn't figure out why my MacBook Pro stopped charging. That's a problem.
Did all four ports fail?
I don't know, because when I got to the point where one of my USB-C ports started charging, I stopped because I just didn't have time to mess with anything else. Mm-hmm. But in the process of doing that, I unplugged everything else from my computer. So my big HP Z34C display is not connected right now. It's pushed up and out of the way. And I have the bare minimum of stuff connected so I can function.
You're up at Jacobian without a determinant, in other words.
You would think, but I'm actually using the Luna Display right now. So I'm running a dual display system, my MacBook Pro's internal display, and then my 12.9-inch iPad Pro. And it's working great. It's crazy how well it works. So I figured, since I've been playing with this for a while and right now I am quite literally depending on it to do my job, do you guys have any questions about this setup? And I will answer them.
Well, my question is just going to be the one. Okay, so I asked you this before we were recording. Is it that cool? Because it sounds like it's that cool.
It's that
which
cool.
Is to say very. So it sounds like, so I want to ask like a logistical question. So this is like a thing that you plug into the USB-C port
or a mini display port
on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then is that it?
Yeah.
Is it cordless? It's wireless.
It's totally wireless. So it's actually using Wi-Fi for the data transmission to your iPad.
Okay, so you need to have...
Oh, that was my question. Connection. Yeah,
it's Wi-Fi.
Okay, so what's the delay like then? And what iPad are you using? What computer are you using? And what's the delay like?
Okay, so I am using the first generation Touch Bar MacBook Pro, 15-inch Touch Bar MacBook Pro.
Okay.
And I am using a first generation 12.9-inch iPad Pro. And what I have found is that this is working surprisingly well. Like right now, I'm looking primarily at just the iPad, and because that's where I have Audio Hijack set up, and I'm watching all of the activity that happens when we're recording a show, and there is no lag whatsoever, at least no lag that I can detect in anything that it's doing. I've watched videos on this, and you wouldn't realize that you're not watching something that's connected directly to your Mac.
Does it act like a second display in that you have control in the display?
It is literally
preference where you can move it around and make it right side, left side, so
yes,
on.
Yes, it is literally a second display. It doesn't just act like it. It literally becomes that. If you open
the
system preferences for displays, you see it as a secondary display. You can move
around.
Could
you do mirroring if you wanted to?
I'm sorry?
Could you do mirroring if you wanted to, or it was a duplicate?
Yeah.
Wow.
It works exactly like another display. The one place where I had trouble, and I believe that this is because I immediately try and push something beyond its limits. And I think what I did was I pushed my computer beyond its limits. So I have this 34-inch display, and what I did was I had my 34-inch display running, my MacBook Pro display running, and then I added this. And so I had a three display setup.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of taxed my processors a little bit.
That'll make most computers cry, to be fair.
and mine did whimper a little bit, but it worked. And wow. So what I'm seeing right now is that if I take a window and drag it on the iPad display, mm-hmm. It gets kind of pixelated while I move it. And then as soon as I stop moving it, then it's back to its sharp view, exactly what I would expect to see on any other display.
And so sort of like when you...
Did you try running a YouTube video, say?
Oh, yeah. And it's beautiful.
So it's like when you VNC into something and how it's a little blurry, and then when you stop doing stuff, it all clears up.
Yes, and my guess is that's not a problem with the product.
No.
I think it's actually an issue with the fact that the software is still in such an early state. It's not optimized to handle those things yet. So I would say, based on what I'm experiencing today, using prototype hardware, it doesn't even look like the shipping product. Like, there's literally mm-hmm. no case on this.
Okay.
And
so,
and early software running this product, mm-hmm. I have very high hopes for the finished product.
So why are you allowed to talk about it now?
Because they launched their Kickstarter yesterday.
Okay.
And so on the Kickstarter, they had a $30,000 funding goal.
Mm-hmm.
They hit that like almost immediately. And when I looked yesterday, the last time I looked yesterday, they were up over $112,000.
Okay.
So they met their funding goal. And
all right.
And so since they've announced publicly that this is coming and shipping in May of next year, mm-hmm. it's okay for me to start talking about it.
Okay.
Did you mention the price?
Do you happen to know how much it is to get your hands on one in this Kickstarter?
$59 will get you one. They also have a level where you can get one plus a year of AstroPad Studio bundled with it. And I forgot what the price is on that. And I think for $99, you get two of the Luna display units. So they have different levels, but $59 that will get you what I have plugged into my computer today. And it's really cool. This thing is going to go traveling with me all the time now.
Yeah.
And previously what I was doing was setups where I would have to have a USB cable plugged into my computer and to the iPad to do mm-hmm. a reasonable dual display thing. And it was still kind of choppy. Mm-hmm. But with this, no extra cable, and it's great. So my iPad Pro is now officially going to be my second display when I'm traveling.
Wow.
Nice.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So anyhow, we're about out of time. Do you guys have any other questions before we wrap up?
No.
All right.
No.
Well, then, listeners, if you have questions about Luna Display, let me know, and I will be happy to answer them, because, you know, this is still like a brand new thing they're just talking about. It's not shipping till next year. And if you're curious if it's something that's going to be useful for you, I am more than happy to answer your questions. So let me know. And you can hit me up on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I will look all those places for your questions, and I will answer them for you. So, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
It's always awesome. And John, it's always great to have you here too. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. Hey. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And thank you to Eero for being our sponsor. Head over to the website, Eero.com, and pick up your Eero second generation so that you can have a network that's as awesome as mine. Use the discount code TDO after you choose overnight shipping and get that shipped overnight for free. I love free shipping. Beautiful thing. Eero.com. And listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.